blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you. From God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 363, thereof the fifth stanza. Hope in God, ye waiting people, mercies great with him abound, and with the Lord a full redemption from the guilt of sin is found. The fifth stanza of Psalter 363.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Gospel according to Luke 1, thereof verses 1 through 25 and 57 through 80. But we will make confession first with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke 1, beginning with verse 1 through 25, and after that, 57 through 80. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that, as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me, to take away my reproach among men. 57 to the end. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered. And she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, Not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, "His name is John." And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What manner of child shall this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-knowing, heart-searching God, who sittest upon thy throne and who doest what pleaseth thee, and for all the power that is in thy hands over all of this world, and thou dost call unto the pestilences, and they come forth, that they may judge men, and that they may call also in the way of thy providences to return again unto him that smiteth them. Oh, could it please thee to look upon us also, and that all thy judgments may be sanctified, and that we may receive humble hearts in thy sight, and that thou may spare yet in the midst of all thy judgments, for thou knowest also what is taking place in the midst of us, our own people, and then especially those that are old. O Lord, we ask of thee that thou may in thy mercy yet spare them, and that thou wouldst watch over them for good. Could it please thee also to settle the fearful hearts, and that there may be a looking up unto thee, a true and a living God, that there may be a true confession of our sin, and that there may also be in this time wherein the world is so busy with all the things of the world, and that there may be in them and in us a cry for that blessing, and that we cannot miss upon our journey to meet thee. Oh, that thou may look then upon young and old, that we are in a time wherein there is much expectation, but we have heard it in thy holy word, that thou didst also go before to reveal and to show that thou wast coming to fulfill thy word. And then thy own servant, it was thy own whom thou hadst chosen, fulfilling the office which thou hadst instituted. And then one of the remnant of that people of those days, and he could not believe it. O Lord, and then that faith is a gift of thee, and he had to smart for his unbelief. And thy children, they are not strangers of what that is. Oh, that thou may give to them also in this day and in these days a little of that expectation that may come forth when that mouth may go opened again. And when he may declare the wondrous ways of the Lord, oh, then that people, they began to look forward in a great expectation for the fulfillment of thy own promises, thy own word, the salvation of thy dear children. Oh, that thou mayst come again, O Lord, in the days in which we do live with our children, that we may also know of that hope, that maketh not ashamed, and that thou wouldst visit thy church with thy salvation, and that thou wouldst come with a little instruction, and that thou wouldst show something of thy favor, a little token for good unto them that do not know any more the way in which to turn, for whom that way is so long. O Lord, that thou wouldst visit them in their place this day, and whether in thy house or in our own home, where that thou dost drive us this day, that thou may remember with a little blessing out of the storehouses of Joseph, which are full, that thou may remember us in the preaching. Lord, that thou may give us wisdom, and that thou may give us insight, and that thou may grant thy spirit in a little measure, undeservedly, and that we may be able to bring forth things new and old out of thy law, and that there may be also Aaron's and hers, and that may hold up our arms before thee, and that may beseech thee for a blessing for their own soul and for the congregation, and that thou may remember all those that bring thy word, and those that are in the offices which thou hast placed them in thy church, and that thou may grant strength and courage, but also wisdom in the days in which we are living. And forsake not those that rule and reign over us. And when we have departed from thee, wilt thou turn us again, O Lord, and grant strength, wisdom, courage, and ability, and that they may also know thy truth, and that they may bow before thee, and that they may ask of thee what they must do, and that we may be kept on every side, that thou wouldst in thy mercy deliver us from all this trouble, and that thou may give us once again to be able to gather together as a congregation, that we may be joined together also in a physical way, and that we may be able to sing also together once again, as it was aforetime. Give us to feel something of our own guilt, that we may become the guilty ones, and that we may repent in dust and in ashes, and that we also may be forgiven, washed and cleansed by him whose coming we do commemorate in this week. Be then together with both young and old, care for the children that are in their homes, and then it is very difficult for them to sit and to listen. O Lord, that Thou may take their ears and that Thou may give them a little patience also in the circumstances and grant them also a little something to hear this day and that may stay with them through their whole life and that Thou may give them new hearts in the days of their youth. And may Thou look upon all Thy church, those especially that are persecuted for the sake of the truth. Lord, then they have it so much worse than we. Oh, that Thou mayest uphold them in that strife, and that Thou mayest encourage and help them therein. Wilt Thou deliver them, and wilt Thou use it all for the building of Thy kingdom, and that Thy kingdom may come, that Thy will may be done, and that Thy name may be glorified. Do then forgive and take away all of our many sins. Care for those that do mourn, for they are many. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 217, stanzas 2 and 3. O Lord, our Savior, help and glorify Thy name. Deliver us from all our sins and take away our shame. And the third stanza, 2 and 3 of Psalter 217. Beloved congregation, Isaiah prophesies, saying, all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of the Lord, that is being fulfilled. There is no birth of any child, of any person in this world, that is so well known and so celebrated as the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a great blessing. Even when the name of this child is recognized only in an outward way in which we know, young people, that it is in our world. And then there is much rejoicing, and you can hear even the songs and played over the speakers in the world. And yet how would it be if there was no recognition at all of that name of the Lord Jesus? And thus it is a blessing, even if in an outward way, and that name that is still recognized in the land in which that we are living. And yet, for the greatest part, that salvation of our God that Isaiah, he is prophesying of, that salvation that is unknown. Even when that name of that child that is being publicly declared over the length and the breadth of the whole earth, we read that the Lord Jesus, he told a parable. He spoke about a man that found a treasure in a field, and how that he went and he bought that field. How was that then for the man, you think, that owned that field previously? That he owned that field, and he did not realize what a great treasure that was laying there in his own field. How will that be when we come to the end of our life? And then we will realize a little something of that great treasure that was laying also so close to us. We would say within that field that we were walking on each and every day. Many of the Jews, we can read, they rejoiced with the Lord Jesus, with the disciples also of the Lord Jesus. He was going up unto Jerusalem, and they were crying, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." But they had really no insight into the great blessings that were in that name of the Lord. So close. The Lord Jesus, he wept over that city. He said, "If thou hadst known, even thou, the things that belong unto thy peace." But he says that they are now hid from thine eyes. That treasure that is in Christ, that is a hid treasure. Until the Lord opens the eyes of a person. Has the Lord ever opened your eyes for that treasure? No. And why not then? You know what the Lord Jesus said to his disciples. He gave them something to preach. They must preach his name. But he said, "Do not cast your pearls before the swine." And why not? Because those swine, they will trample them under their feet. And that is now the way we are. We are by nature even as those swine. And the Lord, he does not reveal himself unto those who will trample his name under his feet. And that is why that he has before, that he has revealed himself also in this world. He has sent before him a forerunner. And we have heard read of him in this hour already. And we wish to say a few words with the Lord's help concerning the 76th and the 77th verses of Luke 1. Luke 1, verses 76 and 77. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. So far, the words of our text. The prophet of the highest, sent to prepare the ways of the Lord. First, why this preparation is necessary. And second, what this preparation consisted of. And afterwards, we will try to close with a few words of application. The prophet of the highest, sent to prepare the ways of the Lord. First, why this preparation was necessary. And second, what this preparation consisted of. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. Thus, it speaks about preparation. And that is an example that is taken from the great men and the kings of those days. Then it was necessary, boys and girls, and when you go today somewhere with your mother and with your father, then you go in a nice automobile, and you go then on the roads, and those roads, they are very, very smooth. And you say, that is a very nice ride that we can have. Well, in those days, then it was not like that. Because in those days, then they did not have nice automobiles yet. But they also did not have very nice roads. No, those roads, they were not paved. Those roads, they were just made out of dirt. And many of the people, they just had to walk on those roads. And some of the people, they would have a chariot if it was a great person. And so a king, he would be riding in the chariot. You know, if you are in the chariot, well, then you cannot just go this way or that way so much like if you are walking, but you have to have a good road to ride on. And so when there would be a king and he was going to come, then someone went before him. And then he went and he made sure that all of those roads, they were good enough for that chariot to pass on. So sometimes there was a big hole in the road. And if there was a big hole, then they had to fill up that hole, that the chariot would not go in that hole. Sometimes there was big branches and they were over the road and they had to take those branches away. And so that is now the picture that we have before us. In this day, John the Baptist, he is the forerunner. And Isaiah, he has prophesied already so many years ago before that happened, that this forerunner, one to go before, he was going to come before that the Lord Jesus came. Isaiah, he says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, make straight the way of make straight in the desert the highway of our God. Every valley shall be exalted. That is, every hole that will be brought up again, that will be filled in with dirt. And every mountain that shall be made low, everything that was standing in the way, that would be made straight. And the crooked that will be made straight, the rough places, they will be made smooth. So a long time before already, Isaiah, he is prophesying about this. And Malachi, later on, then he is also prophesying. And then he says, behold, that is the word of the Lord. I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come into his temple. That is fulfilled in John the Baptist. How do we know that? Well, then there were people in the days of John, they said, Who are you? We are sent by others, and they say they want to know who you are. And then he said, I am a voice. I'm just a voice. I am the voice of one that is crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. And the Lord Jesus, he has also said the same about John the Baptist. He said, and if you will receive it, this is Elias, he said, which was for to come. And thus now Zacharias. We read, and thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. And if we go back to verse 17, then we read, and he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Thus the reason that John the Baptist is sent. That is for preparation, to prepare his ways, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. When do we prepare? Is it always beforehand? If we're going to prepare for something, then that's something that is coming afterward. And why do we need to prepare for things? Well, there are different reasons we need to prepare for things. Sometimes we prepare so that something does not come upon us unawares, that it does not take us by surprise. That is one of the ways that we read in the Bible that the Lord Jesus also speaks about preparation. Then he speaks about the five wise and the five foolish virgins. And he speaks about the time that he is going to come the second time to judge the quick and the dead. And then he says that those five wise virgins, they prepared. They had oil in their lamps. And the five foolish virgins, they have gone without preparation. And then he has made application. Be ye therefore also ready. Be ye therefore also prepared. Why? Because the Son of Man cometh in a day when ye think not. Here it is different. Here we have a slightly different picture. It is preparation, yes, but it is preparation for a people who are waiting for someone. They are waiting for a king. And when that king will come, then he is only going to be passing through, as it were. And so it's then we are to prepare, we read here. Then that people, they would miss him if they were not prepared for him. Because he would come and then, well then, he would be gone again. Why that preparation was necessary? Why? Because the people of Israel, they in general, as a nation, they were people that were unprepared for the coming of that mediator. How many prophecies have not been prophesied unto that people for so many years? And for that people, it was always very, very far away. What was the first time that they heard about the coming mediator? We spoke about that, children. Say Genesis 3. Already, yes. They are already 4,000 years before that he came. Then there was already that first promise. And since that time, more and more of those promises, revealing more and more things about that mediator. And then there was a church in that Old Testament time There was a remnant of that people, and they also hungered and thirsted for that mediator that was to come. Then they had a need for him. Do we also have such a need? And now John the Baptist, before that he comes, he is sent to prepare the ways of the Lord. Or he is sent to raise the expectation of that people, because it is now such a long time. And as it is with us, when it is a long time, now 2,000 years after the Lord Jesus has come, you say, where is the promise of his coming? And how do we put that day? Close? No. We put that day far away. And we go on with our life. And now John the Baptist, he is sent to that people. He is sent to raise the expectation of that people. To say, no, it is not so far away anymore. No, it is just on the horizon. And then that king, he is just about to appear. But those people, they were unprepared for it. They were unprepared for the coming of the Savior of the world. So how? In what way were they unprepared? Well, there was a forsaking. There was a great forsaking in the midst of the children of Israel. Of religion? What do you think, young people? Did they forsake religion, the Jews? You say, no, not at all. They were extremely religious people. They went about, they brought their sacrifices, they followed that ceremonial law of the Lord. No, they were very, very religious people. And yet there was a forsaking of the truth. Can we be religious people and forsake the truth? Yes. All those ceremonies, the priesthood, the sacrifices, who instituted them? The Lord. Why? For whom? That was for his people. That was that they may see something in the days of the shadows. Was that for natural reasons? Or was that for spiritual benefit? We say they pointed to something. There was not just an outward service, no. But there was something that outward service was pointing unto. And that was a great benefit. For whom? For that remnant. For the remnant of the Lord. Who was waiting and who was looking for the fulfillment of the promise of the Lord, because they could not do without the Lord. But then there is the visible church. Then there was all of Israel. And they are not all Israel which are of Israel, the apostle says. And what did they do with those ceremonies? Well, they did them. Yes, those ceremonies, that was their religion. Thus, they have made what was carnal to completely take the place of that which is spiritual. And so those ceremonies, they have lost the blessed value that the Lord had placed within them. And that people, they have gloried in the tradition. What did they say? We are Abraham's children. That is what they gloried in. They said, we have one Father, even God. That is what they gloried in. And they felt themselves to be holier. holier than all those Gentiles, all those nations that were around them. Why? Because we are the Lord's people. We are that people that the Lord has delivered out of that land of Egypt. We are the people whom the Lord has said, I will be your God, and ye shall be my children. We have a glorious history. We have a great heritage. And the promises of the Lord, they also belong unto us. Do we feel something of that? But do you know what they were not? They were not sinners. They were not sinners like this publican. Oh, as a nation and as a people, we would say there was not a spark of humility in that people of the Jews. The Lord had placed on them a yoke. He had placed upon them a burden. They lay as slaves, as it were, unto the Romans. Did it humble them? They only rebelled against it. They raised their fist. And they were waiting, and they said, we have promises the Lord, he is going to deliver us. You will not be victorious over us. And we are waiting for our deliverer. We are waiting for our Savior, who was promised and who is going to come. And that is why they never recognized him. Why not? Because they were looking for someone who was very different than that Savior had said that he was going to be. Than that Savior that was declared unto that people from the beginning, those 4,000 years. But they have so far departed from that which was true, from that which was spiritual. And that one that was coming was such a different deliverer as the one that they were looking for. And that is now the reason that John the Baptist, he was sent unto that people. He was sent to that people to prepare them, to prepare the way of the Lord and to make way for the coming of this king. John the Baptist, he was sent to take away all of the obstacles that laid in the way for that people to receive that king, that promised king. What did that preparation consist of? That is our second thought. What do we read? And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. What does Zechariah say? He says, thou child, thou art going to go in front of that king, and thou art going to preach a different salvation than these Jews are looking for. No, it is not going to be a salvation of deliverance from the Romans. It is not going to be a salvation that is carnal. That is the essential element that was lost. He says it will be a salvation by the remission of their sins. That is what the Jews were not looking for anymore. That is what the Jews did not need anymore. And that was now what was so precious. What was so precious unto their fathers. When they spoke about Abraham, that is what Abraham was looking for. And Isaac and Jacob, what do you think that David was looking for? When the Lord has promised that that king that would sit upon that throne to be an everlasting king? What was that deliverance that the church needed from that very beginning, from the time of the fall of man? But it was now so lost. Oh, congregation, is that now lost also with us? Is it lost by tradition? That we have in mind only all the things that are carnal? That we lose the need for those things which are spiritual? Therefore, what was the preaching of John the Baptist? What did John the Baptist say, boys and girls? When he came to preach, you know, it is easy. The sermons of John the Baptist. Then he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What does that mean, to repent? That means to turn. That means that there has to come a change. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And think, he said, not to say that we have Abraham to our father, for God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. John the Baptist, what did he seek to do? John the Baptist sought to bring that people down. He sought to bring them down from their national pride. He sought to lower them, to bring down their religious pride, to show to them that their heritage cannot save them. No, this has to be for them a personal matter. John the Baptist, what was the baptism of John? Then it was not just like the other baptisms of other nations, ceremonial rites, no, then there was a message in it. And then John, he has preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Thus he said, we need a washing of the heart. We need a turning of the heart. Oh, he would have that people to look away from all their traditions. Why? Are traditions not good? Of course, if they're good traditions, they're good. Then they have a moderating influence upon people. But soon, congregation, they were all going to be gone. How would it be for us if we lived in that time? What would your service of the Lord, your religious service, have looked like to bring the sheep and the pigeons and so on, the priesthood? All of that was going to change. How difficult that it was for that people. And especially difficult for that people when all the religion that was wrapped up in that outward service. Zechariah says to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Oh, then it was only that people who saw through all those sacrifices. It was only that remnant of the Lord that did not make a religion out of what was carnal, and that would be able to endure the change of all that service of the Lord. the knowledge of salvation by the remission of their sins. What does it mean to remit something? To remit, that speaks about a debt. Remittance is a cancellation. A cancellation of debt. That means that then a man owes something to somebody else. That he just simply says unto him, write zero. It is all canceled. Remitted. You owed much, you owed little, you owe nothing. The remission of their sins. That is now the deliverance that John the Baptist, he is preaching. For whom was that deliverance? For debtors. For debtors. If they did not have a debt. What is one who forgives debts? Then he is nothing to me. Sin, congregation, that is a debt. Do you believe it? John does not speak about money. No, he speaks about spiritual matters. John the Baptist, he was sent forth by whom? By Christ himself. A forerunner. Why? Oh, that the people, they would learn to see what their debt was. What their debt was. Why? So that when the Lord Jesus was coming, there would be a people there that felt their guilt. That felt something in order to make that deliverer, that Savior, precious unto them. Preparation. Preparation is necessary for this. That the people, even that King, he is coming. That there may be a people there who are smiting upon their breast. And who are saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Even that Savior will reveal himself. Are there those also here? Then we hope to commemorate the coming of that Savior in this week to come. Let us sing 140, the third stanza. I am evil, born in sin. Thou desirest truth within, and thou alone my Savior art. Teach thy wisdom to my heart. Make me pure, thy grace bestow. Wash me whiter than the snow. The third of 140. congregation, we hope in this coming week when the Lord will spare us to commemorate Christmas, that is, at least in an outward way, a Christmas that needs to be experienced. It needs to be commemorated by us inwardly. There is no inward commemoration of Christmas without preparation. Longer, shorter, deeper, lighter, but Christ reveals himself to those who have been prepared by the work of his own Spirit, and he is removing obstacles. You say, are there obstacles in my heart, young people? Are there obstacles to Christ? In our days, there are so many that would say there are no obstacles. You must just receive him, and you are able to do that. The only obstacle is yourself. You just have to make a decision. Is that right? Is that what the Bible says? Do you ever feel, do you ever experience that there are obstacles to Christ in your own heart? How are those obstacles removed? What are some of those obstacles that need to be removed? Well, you know, in the first place, there is the obstacle of unbelief. When the Lord Jesus was in his home country, then we read that he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. That is an obstacle that needs to be taken away. That is the obstacle of death, spiritual death. Zacharias, he says, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people. Not to everyone. They all do not receive knowledge of salvation, but his people, his church. Why? Because there is by nature no apprehension of a spiritual matter if we lie in death. In spiritual death, we can be well educated, we can be a theologian, we can have memorized the whole Bible from the beginning to the end, and Christ, he have no savor to our soul. How is that taken away? In the first place, it is taken away by the Spirit. He takes that obstacle away through a new birth. It is a miraculous work of God. He does that through means. Therefore, thou child shall be called the prophet of the highest. The prophet of the highest is going to send him before. And when that Spirit of the Lord is working, he is taking away death. And when you take away death, what have you? Then you have life. And with life is faith. Immediately. Not like Abraham Kuyper, who says, well, that lies dormant. Assume regeneration maybe when you are very young and many, many years later, then you begin to believe. No, faith that begins in that moment of regeneration. It has to. Because faith is the hand which receive spiritual blessings. And when do spiritual blessings begin to be given to their people? Immediately. In that new birth. Now, there are different objects of faith. You know that. The Word of God, God Himself, Christ, He is the special object of faith. But faith, saving, true saving faith, that begins already in that regeneration. And then they begin, children, what happens? Then they begin, do you know what the Paul says? They begin to mind spiritual things. Not just earthly things. Not just things we can see. But faith that is looking at the things that we cannot see with our eyes. And begins to believe that those things, they exist, that they are real, that they are true, that God exists, that His Word is truth. Oh, children, you say, we want to have Christmas. Do you want to have Christmas in your heart? If you want to have Christmas in your heart, children, then you must ask the Lord to give you a new heart, because you cannot have Christmas with your old heart, with a dead heart. Christmas that is being experienced in the new heart. And then that new life begins. And then the Lord begins to remove from them another obstacle. And what is that obstacle? That is carnality. Is that completely taken away from that people here below? It is not. But the power of it is broken. Oh, how many complaints that you will hear from that people about carnality. And that is proof of something. That is proof that the power of it is broken. Because that carnality that has become an enemy unto that people with a new life. No, then they cannot end in carnal commemorations. You hear it in the world that we are living in. It is such an awful, awful thing that we cannot come together as families on the day of Christmas. Is that right? Oh, congregation, we do not want to minimize it. But if that is all we have, if that is all we look to, then we miss it. Then we miss it. What is Christmas about? And what kind of a visit do we need on Christmas? Oh, if we could be all alone, if we could be all by ourselves, and we receive a visit from the Lord on Christmas, and Christ would come to take up His abode in our heart, then you will say, there was a Christmas that year. Do you remember? It was that year of COVID. It was that year that we could not come together as a family. Then the Lord came. And there He gave a visit to my soul. Oh, that carnality. The power of that carnality that is broken. And the Lord, He has to take it away to make room for Himself. Are there more obstacles? Yes. The love of sin. The love of sin. Oh, how can we love a Savior who comes to deliver us from sin? If we still love sin, the Lord Jesus says we cannot serve two masters, else you will love the one and you will despise the other. Oh, the love of sin that needs to be broken. It is an obstacle, because if the love of sin that remains in our heart then we cannot love this King. How does the Spirit of the Lord break the love of sin? He plants the love of God. The love of God. And if we love God, then we hate sin. You love your mother, right, children? And then, when your mother says you may not do this, or you may do that, or you must do that, and you sin, and you do not do it, then you are afterwards very grieved, are you not? Why? Because you love your mother. That is right. And if you love the Lord, and we read those commandments, 10 commandments, every Sunday again, they are the commandments of the Lord. And when the love of sin is broken, oh, then the love of the Lord, that is now coming in the foreground. Is that love of sin all the way gone? All the way gone? Oh, if only it was all the way gone. No, the Apostle Paul, he had to complain that it was not all the way gone. He says, I still have a flesh. And that flesh that continues to love that sin. But there is also a Spirit. And that Spirit of the Lord that is hating that sin. And therefore we have the warfare. Sin has become the enemy unto that people. And thus that word of the Lord by John the Baptist that is still going forth today, before the revelation of that mediator in our heart. What is that word? Repent. Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that is now the grace that is being given unto that people. The grace of repentance. In preparation for the revelation of the blessed mediator. Tears. Tears. You ever shed tears? Some shed tears easy. Others do not shed tears easy. That is not important. That is outward. Grief of heart. Tears of heart. Did you ever shed them because of sin? What kind of tears are they? Bitter. Bitter. You think Peter's tears were not bitter? Why? For the love of God that lived in his heart. But I will say something else about those tears. They are also sweet. You ever have a piece of chocolate, children? Chocolate is very different. You have some that is sweeter, and you have some that is very, very bitter. And then sometimes inside of that very, very bitter chocolate, there is a piece of candy or a piece of a fruit, a strawberry or a cherry. And then you taste that bitter chocolate and that very sweet piece of fruit. And now those tears, they are bitter tears. If you sin against your mother, children, you will weep bitter tears. How can they be sweet? Oh, they are. Why is it that church, they would not give that up for the whole world? That is worth more to them than all the money they can get in the bank. And that people later on, they say, could I be brought back to that place where I could just weep once again? Why are those tears so sweet? Because repentance is the beginning of salvation. Repentance is turning. And there is nothing so good to be experienced in our soul as a turning again unto the Lord. Zacharias, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. There is no remission without repentance. The Lord Jesus says, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him and forgive him. Is that right? You say, no, minister, you missed something. It does not say, and forgive him. It says, if he repent, forgive him. And if he turn to thee 7 times in a day, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And then it is not wise, when he does not say, I repent, that we say, I forgive you. Why? Because that does not bring him to repentance. And that is the most necessary part for him. And the Lord himself, he does not do that. No, the Lord, he is preparing a people by the way of repentance. And there is no Christmas to be experienced in our soul without true repentance. And thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. Are there more obstacles that need to be removed? Yes. Ignorance. Ignorance. Ignorance of what? Of salvation. Zechariah says what? He says to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Knowledge of salvation. What is that? That is just what that people lack. Who grieve over their sin out of the love for the Lord. Oh, then in the beginning they think, oh, I know how to get that salvation. Because if that sin grieves me, then I will not do it anymore. And if it grieves the Lord, then I sure will not do it anymore. Then I will watch myself. And that goes good for some time. They do not do this and they leave off that. But that does not take long. And that people, they become disappointed. And why? Well, they thought they would get salvation. They thought they would get relief. Just leave it off. And they find they do not get salvation. And they do not get relief. Why? Because that city of morality that does not give salvation. Mr. Civility, be a good man. Everybody does some wrong. You cannot expect perfection. Mr. Civility, that does not give that people salvation. If it is right, then Bunyan shows how that God's children, they are brought by the Spirit before Mount Sinai. That is now what the others miss when they go the other way. Oh no, the Lord, what is he doing with that people? He is preparing the way of the Lord. He says, turn thee yet again. And thou shalt see greater abominations than these. Then where is that salvation? Oh, how the ignorance of that people that is coming into the foreground. Then they do not know it anymore. Then all of their wisdom that they thought they had, that is gone. And that is necessary. Why? Because you cannot teach someone who thinks to know it. They cannot receive instruction, no. First, you need to take that away. And they must be made teachable. That is now the work of that Spirit. To go before and to prepare the ways of the Lord. That is a people that are being made ripe. Ripe to experience Christmas in their soul. by the revelation of Jesus Christ, the more miserable they become, the closer that revelation is to them. They do not know it. It is a surprise. Oh, congregation, sin is a debt. And it must be experienced as our debt. And it must be experienced as an unpayable debt. It does not matter if it is one penny or $1 million. What are they both? If they cannot pay it, they are both a debtor. And it will put them both in prison. What does Solomon say? He says that the poor, the destruction of the poor, is their poverty. How are they destroyed? By their poverty. Then that one, he has a great debt. And the other, his debt is not as great as the other perceives his to be. That is not the important point. What is the important point? That they are bankrupt. That they are not able to pay that debt. What is that knowledge of salvation that Zechariah prophesies of? He says it is the knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. No, not by their own earnings. That is not enough. But by that blessed and that full remission, by the cancellation. Oh, so simple, isn't it? So simple. The doctrine is easy. But to feel it and to know it in our heart, that is something else. Then we must become what? Then we must become that debtor. Because if we are never that debtor, then the wonder that is missing for us, oh Christ, in the revelation of that mediator in our soul, then he is revealed as that debt-paying surety for his people. Oh, then that people rejoice. That one that owed a penny and could not pay it, and that other that owed $1 million, all the one who had sinned in his sinned only, you say, for a short time. He is maybe only 5 years old. And the other is 100 years old. And that thief on the cross. And what is now the common thing, the common point for each and every one of them, is the bankruptcy. Oh, congregation, have you ever gone bankrupt? That is now the work of John the Baptist. That he may go before, that he may go in front, that there may come a place for that Savior when he is coming. And then he is coming only once. He is coming through, as it were. And if we are not prepared in that time that he comes through, then we are going to miss him. Oh, do you see why it is so necessary then that we are prepared? Otherwise, there is no suitability of Christ for our soul. And that is the way we are by nature. How many times have we now commemorated Christmas? Say, I'm 10 years old, or 20, or 50, 80 years old. How many times? And how has it been? Were you never prepared? Have you never gone bankrupt? To commemorate the birth of that Savior that the Father has sent into the world, to pay the debts of those who are not able to pay them yourselves? Oh, is there now such a debt this time? This week, Christmas. Is there now this time such a debt? such an unpayable debt. The Lord give to you then a blessed Christmas. The knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we cannot give it unto ourselves. It is a work of thee. And thou art almighty. Take away the unbelief out of our hearts. Take away the spiritual death. Take away the carnality. Take away that love of sin. Take away our ignorance. Oh, lead us. Draw us, Lord, and that we might smite upon our breast and say, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And that we could not go on with a mere outward religion. And that it may become true within for both young and old, a great and small among us. Take of thy word, Lord, and bring it in our very hearts. Wilt thou spare us in the week to come? Care for all those that are afflicted and sick. And wilt thou grant us a true humility before thee? Be with us when we hope to be together also in this week for the commemoration of the coming of thy dear Son into the flesh. Oh, that we may have many thoughts thereof, longings and desires for the application. Forgive all that was amiss for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is the Song of Zacharias, stanzas 3 and 5. John was the prophet of the Lord to go before his face, the herald which our Savior God sent to prepare his ways. And the 5th, 3 and 5 of the Song of Zacharias. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.